you would never wash your nuts or your cock with a bidet. I'm just trying to understand. So a woman would potentially wash her genitals with it as well as her anus.
There are different kinds of bidets. There are bidets that have like a little hose attachment, so you could wash your cock. I don't think I have. Hello and welcome to Your Mileage May Vary. We talk about sex and relationships with frankness that is often controversial, but mostly in good faith. I have collated a bountiful list of sexy topics to cover today, including a girlfriend with an extreme kink, what to do when a man unwantedly forces your head down on his dick, a couple who finds a new way to express their exhibitionism, and more. I am Keith. My co-host is Mike. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Keith.
We talked about, you invented a new term in our last episode, the three sevens. Do you want to describe what that meant to you?
Yeah, that's when you have, the three sixes are a guy who's 6 feet tall, makes six figures, and has a 6-inch penis. So then the three sevens would just be going up to the next level, which of course means it's just like a couple of basketball players, realistically, because you have to make more than $1 million a year, have a gigantic penis, and
be seven feet tall.
That's right.
I feel like, what's someone 7 feet tall? Like, what are the odds that they have a 7-inch or smaller penis, right? Like, they would, it would be just be disproportionate.
You know this from following basketball. Are their hands and feet bigger?
Yes.
So
you would think everything scales, right?
I would think so. And I mean, I don't even think there's a selection bias, because I remember distinctly, I think you and I both knew a guy once who was 6'10", I think.
Yes.
And I remember looking up, because I was curious, what are the odds if somebody's 6'10", 6'11", 7 feet tall, that they play in the NBA? And my recollection is that if you're 7 feet tall, it's like 1 in 7.
Yeah. I don't remember what the number is. I think it's 1 in 7 if you're born in the United States or something, but yeah.
Okay. And for this guy, I think it was like 1 in 100, 1 in 1,000. It was a reasonable odds, right? For a normal height person, it would be zero. But anyway, I don't remember if this guy had extra large hands, and we certainly never asked what his penis size was. We probably should have.
We should have. He would have.
Yeah.
He might have engaged in that conversation with us. Wasn't his daughter sort of athletic?
And tall, yes.
Okay. I never met her, but I'm just remembering that she was athletic, so that implies that he might have been athletic too. Okay. Anyway, the reason why I brought up the triple sevens is, okay, let's say a woman had a number of points to allocate to penis size, number of figures of wealth, and height. How do you think they would distribute it if it was capped at 18?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, I mean, the issue is, what is 6.5 or 7? What does 6.5 mean?
Is it logarithmic or is it?
Yeah. Right. That's going to be the key question there. Generally, I think she would, that's actually an interesting challenge. It's honestly interesting because all three are kind of important. My guess is she'd shave 1 point off penis size and distribute it between. She'd want the six. So I'm going to go with 7 on the money, 6 on the height, and 5 on the penis size.
Yeah.
That's what I think she'd do. She might go for 8. And 4 on the penis size, actually. She might take 8 on the wealth.
That would be the correct thing to do. Actually, the correct thing to do would be 0 and 12 on the income.
So no penis, but just a ton of money.
Yeah, a billionaire.
Yeah, sure. Right, I mean, do you think that's...
Trillionaire, right?
Do you think that's worth it? That's a trade-off.
$1 trillion to never have sex?
Or to only have, to have to sort of have sex with a micro penis? Man,
well, it would be 0 in this case, so he would have to just go down on you or penetrate you digitally,
right? Yeah, it's an interesting question. I don't know. I think at that point, it's like a counterfactual. You're at the point now where it's like a woman doesn't want somebody that's deformed. But honestly, and also there's a decreasing marginal value of wealth, right? I mean, going from 1 billion to 10 billion to 100 billion is not really much of a difference. So, I mean, getting a couple inches of penis size and giving up some billions probably is worth it, right?
You would not take $1 trillion to never have sex again in your life?
No, I wouldn't. Because I don't think I would get that much marginal value out of $1 trillion versus what I have now.
Couldn't you,
I have my mic privilege.
Couldn't you like hypothetically like fix world poverty with the trillion's not enough?
You couldn't.
10 trillion, you might.
You couldn't, because money is sort of a theoretical construct, right?
Well,
so you would just have inflation then.
Right.
You'd be in the Weimar Republic.
Yeah, we'd have to like somehow stop inflation and you get 10 trillion. So you get like half the world.
You'd be in the Weimar Republic / Biden's America.
Right. All right. I'm not going there. There was this post on the Sugar Lifestyle Forum subreddit. This guy was talking about this girl he was dating, and he said that her vagina was too big and he couldn't feel anything when he put his penis in. And then there was this, you know, shaming him about how like he just has a small penis and, you know, whatever it is. And then it prompted this, and this is the number one post on the Sugar Lifestyle Forum subreddit of the week. And they say, okay, sex ed. Thanks to a recent post, it has become clear that some people in this group are unaware about how vaginal openings actually work. Your penis cannot permanently stretch out a pussy. A large toy cannot permanently stretch out a pussy. Vaginal openings are the size they are. They loosen up when aroused. They widen for babies to come out. Unless there's a tear, there's no permanent change. They're like rubber bands returning to the original shape and size. Now, I actually think rubber bands are a terrible analogy. Rubber bands and springs, the more you use them, the less they return to their original shape and size. But
that's certainly true for a spring. For rubber band, it would break, right?
Eventually, I'm not sure. Yeah.
But I'm not sure. Does a rubber band actually become loose?
I don't know. They get sort of flaky.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
They get dried out somehow. Yeah.
Right. That might be a good analogy for a woman.
Yeah. Well, anyway. All right. Brutal. Ladies, please ignore the part in this article that suggests doing typical Kegels. Kegels were created by a man, and average Kegels are not recommended by pelvic floor therapists. I saw a pelvic floor therapist a few years ago, and she was amazing. My therapist had me do more of an elevator type Kegel. Thanks for coming to my TED Talk.
Elevator.
Now to get the kids off
Kegel
to school and get myself to work. Now, why is she doing Kegels if it's not possible to change anything in your vagina?
Well, I want to know what an elevator type Kegel is. Does she say anything?
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Okay. That's confusing to me because
I think it's funny that she's gatekeeping Kegel type.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I think that that's a relatively standard therapy for incontinence. And if you're sort of improving the musculature in that area, maybe it's a placebo. Maybe it doesn't do anything. I will admit to never having, I just assumed that it made sense. That it could work. So maybe it doesn't work. It's plausible to me that it does nothing.
What is the supposed mechanism? It's not making you tighter. It's tightening something else up or firming something else up.
Yeah, well, they're muscles. I mean, it's the female analog to the muscles that you use when you stop your pee flowing, right? So it's the muscles kind of around the vaginal opening, around the anus. And so in theory, you could strengthen them, right? Just like this, muscle training.
But does this correlate to perceived tightness by someone penetrating you?
I mean, it could enable them to voluntarily tighten them in such a way that it creates perceived tightness, sure. I mean, everybody's aware of the, like there's like three really famous things in Tijuana. There's the donkey show, and then there's like, okay, well, two of them are the donkey show and the woman, and then the other one is the woman who shoots ping pong balls out of her vagina.
Right.
Presumably that is a consequence of having relatively skilled control
Kegels
over those muscles. Yes.
Sorry, not Kegels, but the muscles that Kegels hypothetically
exactly
address.
And also it would be the ability to sort of increase the amount of pressure in the abdomen. Like, for example, I was having a very sad day the other day and looked up speculum porn. Yeah, why? Right, why?
Yeah.
And it turns out that there is... Oh, I'll tell you why. I was listening to a bit by a comedian. Who was it? Nikki Glaser. And I might have mentioned her on the podcast last week or the week before. I'm not sure. But anyway, so she had a bit about speculums and whether they would go up her ass or her vagina. And so I was like, oh, I wonder if there's porn of this. And of course there is. And one of the speculum porns in the vagina... I mean, it's like, what's the point? The porn's sort of boring, right? They just open it up and then, but the woman coughed and you could see like a lot of motion of the internal structures in there when she coughed. Yeah. And that was a little bit interesting, right?
Well, we know that because when men get physicals, they're asked to, the doctor gropes your balls and then asks you to turn your head and cough. And I think they're feeling for the muscle response there. And they can tell if you have a hernia or the potential right. of a hernia developing based on how those muscles respond.
I thought it was a hernia too. Yeah, that makes sense. So yeah, there's some analog there for a woman, and you can, and also, I mean, every guy who's had sex with a woman has probably had the experience of her either laughing or coughing when you're inside her, and there's some sensation that you get. It's not like, would you term it pleasurable? I would just say it's noticeable. It's like a notable sensation. It's not like, you're not like, oh, cough a lot because it'll turn me on.
When someone's coughing or sneezing, it's just not really sexy generally.
Well, fair point.
So it's sort of like a, it's orthogonal to whether or not I'm turned on.
Yeah, I agree with that.
There's a bunch of people in the comments saying that he must have a small penis.
That's a standard kind of riposte, right? I mean, that's like, that's the right thing to say to sort of make fun of the guy and belittle him.
Can we litigate this briefly? Is it possible? Like, are there women? I think like the average vagina is even more clustered around the mean than the average penis length. Like, I think most penises are like, you know, between 5 and 7 it's inches.
Like, yeah, it's even tighter than that. I mean, most are between like, it's even tighter than that, but go on.
Sure. 5.5 to 7 exactly. and a half or whatever. All right. And, well, yeah. or sorry, six,
five and
a half, whatever.
To 6.5.
All right. they're clustered around the mean. Yes. I think vagina tightness is also very, maybe even more so clustered around the mean.
It makes sense to me because unless you have like a something in there dilating the vagina, it basically closes on itself, right? And so when you talk about tightness, it almost doesn't mean anything, right? I mean, it's simply the internal structure of the woman's body.
People have different sized mouth cavities and armpit cavities and stuff. You can imagine the like opening or tautness there varying.
Yeah, but when in your mouth, there's a space. There's actually a space in your mouth all the time, right? I mean, you have your tongue in there. If you close your mouth, even if you, okay, if you fill it with food, but the point is there's not everything in your mouth, if your mouth is closed, is, you can't make it so your mouth is completely filled with your body parts, right? There's space in there that could have food, water, or air.
Okay.
Right?
Where are you
going
with
this? A vagina is not like that. When it closes up, there's actually no space. Right, it's a potential space, right? I mean, it actually collapses in on itself when there's nothing in there.
Is that true? That I don't know.
In general, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, of course you could put air in there.
Okay, so then we're discussing the stretchability of the tissue then. You can imagine different women having different tissue stretchability.
Yes. And also maybe different muscular control, and also sort of how big the potential space is. But even that, you know, it's very, very big in all women because it can fit a baby, right? So the potential space there is quite large. Like it's stretchy okay. enough. Sort of doesn't mean anything.
I've already conceded the point that I think women are even more clustered around the mean than men
right.
are. But is it possible there's, you know, the rare woman out there whose vagina is ultra tight or ultra loose?
I think so, because I think what people really mean when they're talking about that is the first, say, inch of the vagina, right? And so then that could be impacted by various physiological factors, right? Because for starters, you have the question of whether she's had a baby or not, right? Would impact how large of a thing has ever passed through there. And then you could imagine you have an opening and the opening has a size.
Yeah. But even the distension caused by having a baby, I think, I mean, some women's vaginas actually tear when have a baby, but that heals, I think, and things return roughly
Hopefully.
To normal.
It either heals. If it doesn't heal, you're in trouble.
Yes.
Especially if it's pointing toward the anus, which it often is.
Yeah. Well, people can get surgery to address that. Where was I going with this? Oh,
I'm not sure.
I just think it's possible that this man's experience as reported was not what was what, yeah, like he may have actually thought she had, you know, a particularly loose vagina. I suspect the thing that most men identify as a loose vagina is just a woman that's very wet, because that yes. can affect the perception there. But
yes, I think that's right.
I just thought the immediate shaming of his penis was a little bit.
There was a related when you said that. That was from which forum? Sugar Lifestyle Forum, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
So on NSFW411, which of course is the subreddit for finding porn. Somebody requested, it's actually the top request right now, put up 7 hours ago. It says, who has the tightest body you've ever seen? They mean in porn.
Yeah.
And there's some examples given. I'm not going to go through the list, but what does that mean to you, a tight body? What do you think that means? It's on the same axis, right?
Yeah. I would guess very toned, but not.
So low body fat?
You don't want it to be too low.
Okay.
Because you lose some femininity at that point.
Okay. Well, the top. Okay. So there's somebody named Angelica Ebby, who's one of the top choices. Okay. So she's blonde and very thin.
Do you know who Mia Malkova is? She was a big porn star like name, 5 years ago. She's a gymnast. So in a lot of her porn, she's like doing the splits and stuff.
Okay. And so it basically means muscular, sort of strong, athletic looking, something like that. Is that what tight means? It's something you hear a lot, you know, oh, she has a tight body.
But yeah.
It's not well defined.
I think tight is a euphemism for she has a hot body. And then it's sort of open to interpretation by the, you know, by the listener.
Sense. Okay. Anyway, yeah, these people have a various. It's always interesting to me when people. It's sort of an analog, a bit, although I think it's more common than that to the people who post comments on porn, or as we saw, comments on male masturbator toys on Amazon. Mm-hmm. People who know the names of the porn stars, I always think is kind of interesting. I think it's more common to know the names of the porn stars than to post comments. Actually, I think it's somewhat common. I'm guessing like 20 plus, maybe. What would you guess, actually? What percentage of men do you think know, say, 5 or 10 porn stars' names?
It's a tricky test. I don't think I could recite 10 porn stars' names, but if you showed me 20 names, I bet I could identify the 10 that are porn stars.
I wonder what percentage of men can. I bet it's more than 50% of men can do that. Yeah.
You just develop a parasocial relationship with a few of them.
Yeah, I don't. For me, they're much more anonymous than that. I don't.
Well, you really like amateur stuff, generally.
Yeah, but even when it's the same person again and again, I think often I don't notice that it's the same person. I don't develop a relationship with them like that. Like it's more somehow I don't think to myself, oh, I like this person. That's a little bit unusual.
Do you know who Emily Willis is?
Not really.
Huh.
I think I've heard the name.
She's a brunette. She's very skinny.
Okay.
She's been around for a while. You know, she always wins those AVN awards. Anyway, she recently had an overdose, I believe, and was hospitalized for it. I didn't follow up. She might have. Let me just make sure she hasn't.
Yeah,
died.
She was hospitalized in a coma as the family prepared for the worst. That was that's actually tomorrow's news. It's because it's from the UK.
Look at this. California. Yeah, she's still in critical condition following her hospitalization last month. She just came to mind because she'd been in the news lately. But I knew she was when I saw the story. I was like, oh, yeah.
It doesn't say what drug she overdosed on.
Well, yeah, it's not going to be good.
Let's not speculate. Yeah.
I have some fond memories there that I now feel a little guilty about. All right, let's do
Does
this.
Okay. Go on.
Okay. Let's do this kinks thing. Now,
yeah.
Dear listeners, you should brace yourself here. This is, yeah. Here
really?
We go.
Okay. I'm excited.
Yeah. Girlfriend has really extreme kinks, and I am unable to get aroused after hearing them.
My girlfriend after has, hearing them.
Yeah. My girlfriend has really extreme kinks, and she shared them with me. She asked whether I am down for hearing it, and I said yes. She did insist it was entirely optional and not required.
Wait. I want to guess. Can I guess what the kinks are?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How many are there?
It's really just one.
Okay. Is it shitting on, is it having him shit on her? Am I close?
You're when you play hot and cold, you are extremely hot, but you're not there.
She shits on him. Okay, yeah. Let's hear it. I'm close though. Okay.
Yeah. All right. I wasn't prepared for what she was going to say though. She said that she has a huge scat fetish. She talked about how she wants me to, quote, eat her shit and things like that.
Oh my God.
I was just shocked as she continued by saying that she wants me to accompany her to the toilet or even literally serve it to me on a plate saying, dinner's ready. She said she also wants to eat things she cannot digest before going to the bathroom so that it won't be fully feces and stuff she ate would be present as well. I immediately said, yeah, I'm never doing that. Sorry. She just shrugged and said she thought so and that's no problem. The problem is that now I'm unable to get hard. We have tried having normal sex, but I just can't get aroused when I'm near her, no matter what I do. She accused me of kink shaming and said, I said it was entirely optional and you agreed to listen to it. We were having sex as we tried to do earlier and you aren't getting aroused and that I'm kink shaming her, etc. Now she's really upset that I'm unable to get aroused by her now. No idea what to do.
I mean, kink shaming could be okay in certain contexts. I mean, this is a pretty extreme.
If somebody comes to you and says, you know, I just fantasize about fucking young boys. It's like, okay, well, maybe she feels some shame for that.
Right. So, okay. So just to be clear here, she wants, sorry, who is saying dinner's ready?
She wants to present her poop to him.
Okay. So her kink is for him to eat her poop.
Mm-hmm.
Is the word kink right there? That feels like, it's like sadism and masochism. It's like she's doing it to him.
Right. Like,
that's not, I mean, okay, fine. That's a kink, but it seems a little unfair, right? She should be the one kind of subjecting herself to the unusual experience, in my opinion.
Some clever person in the comments said, so somebody pointed out, like, I don't get why the hell she went so far into descriptions before checking how you felt about it. What happened to, I'm really into scat. I have a bunch of things I'd like to do if that's something you might be interested in. Then you'd have a chance to say no, thank you. And she didn't need to put all those mental images in your head. But the person responding to that said, I'm guessing she got turned on while talking about that, which is probably in play.
There's a few problems here. Problem one is that, I mean, first of all, think about what level, let's assume she's not trolling.
What sure.
level of kind of openness she had to get to even say this to the guy. Even if you had this kink, you wouldn't want to reveal it, right?
Right.
This would be something that you would want to
take to the grave.
The odds that this would work, the odds that the guy'd say, oh, that sounds great, are really close to zero. I think it's effectively zero. So she's never going to find a guy who's going to say, oh, that sounds like what I want to do.
Right.
So there's that. And then, right, I mean, she's running this huge risk that the guy is then going to wonder things like, well, have other people done this for you? Like, what are the contours of this, right? And he's going to wonder that.
I can't imagine. I don't know if I would do this in any circle. Like, I mean, we're back to the, like, well, for $1 trillion, would you? And it's like, okay, well, then maybe. But yeah, like, there's just nobody. Yeah, the set of people that would tolerate this is like virtually zero. So, like, how does she even know she has this kink?
Well, that's a great question. That's a great question. Yeah, what happened in her life? That's why it makes you think that, hey, this is either a fake
troll
or trolling or something. Strange. Yeah.
This might be her way of, like, breaking up with him.
No, nobody would do that.
Like, she just makes up something totally outrageous that, like, he obviously won't do and then says, like, oh, well, this is a deal breaker for me.
Is that a breakup strategy that you've ever encountered in any way in your life? Either
no,
done
but
to
I'm
you,
gonna,
done to a friend?
I'm going
to
add this to the Rolodex. Maybe I'll try it out.
I mean, I could see it. There probably is a Seinfeld episode that has as a plot device something like this. In fact, there are, right? I mean, there are plot devices where they
Jerry makes up some absurd reason.
Yeah. Right. You come up with something and then the person breaks up with you. But generally, yeah, this is hard. It's hard to fathom where this comes from and kind of what the point is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So you're apparently not into it either. All right. Let's move on. What to do when a guy pushes your head down when he's coming? I'm actually having the worst luck meeting non-asshole guys lately. I'm a 30-year-old female, and I hooked up with a guy today because I've been having issues with guys coming inside me without my permission, so I decided to use a condom. Perfectly fine sex. I'm a little confused. Oh, I see. She wants to use a condom because normally, if she doesn't use a condom, guys come inside of her. All right, whatever. All right. Perfectly fine sex until he asked me if he could take the condom off to come in my mouth. I thought, hell yeah, consent for once and let him. The problem was, when he started coming, he forced my head down. I was fucking terrified, and he held me like that as hard as he could for what felt like a minute. I had such bad tunnel vision after I just put my clothes on and had a huge panic attack / cry in my car. I kind of used to experience this when I was younger, but it didn't feel anywhere as scary. I've never even thought to bring up something like that as a boundary, so maybe I should just bring it up and move on. He's a nice guy. He's already done a wellness check on me, but I don't know. So this is mildly interesting. There were a couple things in the comments that surprised me.
Okay.
The number one comment is, everyone covered the ethical side, so I'll offer a practical tip. Use your hand on the shaft of his cock as a limiter to how much he can thrust in your mouth. That's kind of genius. Yeah, you use your hand as like a governor, so he can't...
Wait, that you've never thought of or encountered that before?
I've encountered somebody using their hand on my cock while they're blowing me.
Right.
But that can actually feel better than just a mouth alone. I didn't consider that could be used as a governor to stop me from forcing their head down.
Well, I mean, it could be, yeah, no matter what position you're in, also if you're thrusting up toward them or whatever, it's basically like a control system. I feel like, yeah, there was some text thing that circulated like in the late 1990s that was like, you know, how to give a blowjob. And this was like one of the 7 tips or something.
Huh.
Like an old.
Okay. Well, excuse my ignorance then. Yes. I had never seen that before. Okay. And then the other comment I thought was interesting is, so somebody responds to the hand tip by saying, this is the best way to stop forced deep throating. And somebody responds to that, I say the best way is teeth, but okay. And then like 20 people respond and say like, no, absolutely do not do that because the impulse reaction is to punch and she is in the worst position possible. Somebody else says, yeah, really don't bite. The impulse for most men is to punch and will absolutely do some damage.
How do they know that?
That was, there's like 20 responses that mentioned this like punch reaction. Is this a well-known thing? You just told me that the hand governor thing is well-known.
No, this is not a well, because in order to know this, you would have to have somebody, you'd have to have sort of experimental evidence of what happens when people's dicks get bitten or attacked. And I don't think people, I mean, for example, when somebody gets hit in the crotch playing soccer, they don't immediately punch at the air you know what I mean? People don't, when a person's penis gets attacked, he doesn't punch at the,
I don't know if that's analogous.
Okay.
But I don't know. I'm surprised that so many people seem to know this punching thing.
What do you think you would do if somebody bit your cock?
Trying to imagine. Am I having, like, is my arm twitching? Like imagining this? I don't know. I don't think so. I don't know.
Wait, why? Oh, is your arm twitching? Like you're punching? Yeah, I mean, I think that I would be surprised and... I feel like I would instead try to pull their head off of my penis, which might be a bad decision because they could then
leave skid marks, teeth
right.
skid marks.
Yeah, you'd have a bloody, bloody trail on your penis. Yeah.
Man, these
last I don't know if punching them would be the first thing. And anyway, I'm skeptical that everybody knows that.
Well, you should. I mean, you can look at the thread yourself to get rid of that skepticism. I'm confused why everyone seems to know that. Although maybe everyone was just piling on and only one person said it with authority or something.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on again. This person says, we tried a cam roulette site and it led to amazing sex. So I, a 25-year-old female, decided to join my boyfriend, a 29-year-old male, on one of those cam sites where it connects you to strangers who are mainly men stroking it, LOL. My boyfriend has been pretty open about him using the site before. He just likes the idea of people watching him, which I'm fine with. It was never a thought of mine to try it. I didn't think I had the right type of body or for it. But oh man, was I wrong. To see these guys get so excited at seeing me and calling it sexy how I was stroking my boyfriend and telling me how hot I was. OMG. These horny guys couldn't get enough of me and it felt great. We didn't show our faces, just our bodies. This is the first time I've done something like this, but I have to admit I'm hoping to get to do it again. We were on it for maybe an hour just teasing. I made my boyfriend come on cam, and then we shut the laptop off and had such amazing sex. I don't think I've been as wet before. Usually after my boyfriend comes, he's not able for a second round unless there's hours in between. But that had to be the best sex we've ever had. Are there any other couples out there who do this? Why was this sex after so amazing? I'm trying to think of something more irresponsible than just broadcasting yourself having sex with your partner on, what is it, Omegle? Or what are the, isn't that one of the, is Omega, well, Omegle still, yeah, the main live chat site?
Well, I mean, yeah, they're you mean the sort of unpaid random ones, not campsites.
Yeah. Look, if you're on Chatterbait and you're like hustling and you're making some cash from this, I think there's some risk that in the future that could be career limiting. In fact, wasn't there that state congressman woman who had an issue with that?
Yeah.
We discussed that in a prior episode. But this is getting all of the downside, perhaps even more, and none of the upside.
Yeah, it's sort of online exhibitionism. There is like a category on Chatterbait for exhibitionists where they're not trying to get money and they just are broadcasting themselves. And yeah, it's generally less attractive people. A lot of men, solo men. I mean, men have a tendency to like to just point the camera at their crotch and beat off. So then you can't really tell who it is, right?
Yeah, they don't have the risk either. When do you think AI will be able to recognize somebody from their body signature?
Oh, like a penis detector? Penis?
I don't know. Print? Like if you saw a picture of me from the head down, AI can't currently use that to find.
But you mean from the neck down?
Sorry, whatever, from like, the neck down, whatever.
Yeah.
But eventually there will be such a library of like all the, you know, stupid iPhone pictures ever taken fed into an AI somewhere, and it should be able to extrapolate.
Clothes operate as a confounder there, right?
A little bit. Imagine if you had infinite memory and you had access to all the photos ever taken. I think you would be able to see like
maybe
various stuff. But
I don't have nude photos of everybody. I'm a little skeptical.
But they wouldn't need
to
be nude. Like if you saw me in like, you know, like if there's a picture of me like scuba diving and swim trunks or something, you know, like there's just enough information out there. Maybe it's 10 years, but I don't think it's 20.
I don't know. I don't know if, I mean, so your face retains a certain look and that might be adaptive for humans, that your face remains recognizable, but I'm not sure if like your torso remains recognizable in the same way. I'm not sure there's an adaptive benefit to that. So I suspect that if you take people's torsos, you know, you take a picture every year, I'm not sure you could even tell it's the same person just from the torso.
Huh. My intuition is that body parts change less than the face, but I don't know. It's an interesting point.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but facial geometry is important to how humans recognize each other.
Right.
So I don't know. What was the question here, though? The overarching question?
Oh, I don't even remember all that. No, it's not the shit eating.
No, we don't.
Oh, are there any couples out there who do this? Why is the sex after so amazing?
Oh, right. Sorry. So, you're basically talking about the risk that people are identified via these videos, can be found, etc. Yeah, I mean, and in most cases, their face is on there, right? Or in a lot of cases.
Yeah, she says that their face isn't on it, but yeah, okay. Another thing you see, I've seen this on Chatterbait myself, and my experience there is quite limited, especially compared to you.
Yes.
How, I mean, every once in a while, like, they mess up the camera angle and their head is, like, briefly on camera. And so an astute observer could screen capture and stuff.
There are definitely services that download the stream.
Yep.
And so all those streams are being recorded somewhere.
Yep.
And so if you show your face even for an instant, somebody's going to be able to figure out who you are. Just like the thing where if you show the exterior of your house or whatever, they'll be able to figure out where exactly you are. Because there are these sleuths out there that can figure that stuff out.
Yep.
So yeah, those are all risks in addition to the sort of facial recognition risk. But people, you know, it's a fetish. There is a set of people that want to do exhibitionism stuff. So
what is going on there? Do they like the risk? So like,
do they like the risk?
You know, some people might like going to have sex in a park, but I think most people would, to the extent they have that fetish, would want to do that privately somehow, you know, right. Maybe in a secluded area of the park. But are some people, do some people like to do it in a semi-secluded area? And is the excitement that they might get caught, or is the excitement that they do get caught?
I think it varies. It could be either. Usually what you see is people who are kind of, that they might get caught. Because the problem with actually getting caught is that it's probably illegal, and then you're going to have real consequences. You might get stopped and so forth. Although, look, there are people who go to like sex clubs and fuck in front of people, right? So that is like or those like sex cruises or there are various like resorts where this stuff happens. So, you know, so that can happen as well.
Yeah, that's right. There's sex parties.
Yeah.
I think those people sort of convince themselves that they're expressing some sort of art form.
Could be. I mean,
so that's like a third thing.
Yeah. I mean, right. There's the question of whether you're imposing it on people unwittingly or something. I think the public stuff is typically just the risk. They don't actually want to get caught.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think so too. But the thing of like going on a campsite and like, it's not that there's risk of getting caught. It's that you are caught.
True.
Anyway.
I mean, on a campsite. It's a little, I mean, look, most, this is becoming rarer and rarer on the NSFW 411 subreddit, repeatedly or reliably or predictably, you'll see these posts where people are looking for sort of real amateur porn. And because of OnlyFans, it basically doesn't exist anymore. And so, I mean, for better or worse, people are able to monetize this stuff.
Yeah.
And so then that makes you kind of wonder, well, did it ever exist? Or was it just a different way of monetizing? Or were they people that were doing it hoping they'd be able to monetize it some way? And OnlyFans has just made it so that there's a system in place that allows you to do it better. I'm not sure.
Yeah. I'm not sure.
But yeah,
either.
I mean, Interestingly, the answer when people say, hey, where is real amateur stuff is it's in like private groups because basically capitalism is at work here. People don't want to post stuff unless they can make money off of it.
Right.
So your intuition is right. People basically don't want to do this without profit motive.
There's still some amateur porn, but I mean, it's good that there's the profit motive because Pornhub can help them monetize. Or OnlyFans.
Right. And the thing is that the people who are trying to monetize outcompete the ones that aren't, because the people who are trying to monetize are willing to like pay somebody to post their stuff everywhere.
Right.
And yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Let's move on. We're going to revisit an old topic of ours here, but I have a specific question. Okay. So this person asks, what happens after a partner finishes first? I'm a straight female, but I'm curious from all genders what people do. A lot of times a dude will come and I'm not done yet. Like, I get it's uncomfortable to keep riding a dick that's done, but that's what I want to do, LOL. Am I supposed to just take care of myself? Does the dude need a minute to chill? How long until he can have the energy to finger me or something? I've had sex with multiple guys, but generally not the same person so many times, so I'm not sure what is normal. And yes, it would be lovely to find a relationship with a consistent sex, but that's a whole nother issue for another day. Okay, so we had like a 20 episode arc when we were talking about the order that orgasm should occur in And
right.
To recap, I think we agreed that the man should come second, generally, and that a woman expecting a man to help them reach orgasm after the man has orgasmed is really imposing something quite unpleasant on men. Is that?
It's not as unpleasant as pooping in a dish and saying dinner's served, but
that's true.
It's up there.
Everything is a matter of degrees. But yeah, right. Like I think during that arc of our series there, I think we were both a little bit surprised at how many women seem to be confused by this,
right.
Which is after a man has orgasmed, there really is a cliff in his arousal. And so interacting with a vagina, especially one that has like his semen in or around it, is really an unpleasant experience for him. Now, some women might say like, well, he should just suck it up, you know? And to some extent, that it depends. if he, you know, came really quickly and didn't try any foreplay and didn't do anything to help you get there, then that might be an okay position to adopt, although you should probably coach right. him to be better. But yeah, like if he didn't do it before, he's definitely not going to want to do it after.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, right. Yeah. So if the man is racing like that, if he's trying to come as fast as possible or appears to be doing so, it puts the woman in kind of an untenable position.
Yeah. I mean, if he's generally a selfish lover, then having the attitude that like, well, I don't care if it's unpleasant for him, he should just do it, then that's fine. You can be a selfish lover too. But, if he's a more normal person, which is, you know, he gives it the old college try and, you know, spends 10 to 20 minutes trying to get you off and
yep.
it doesn't happen. And then he comes and then you expect him to spend, you know, 8 more minutes fingering you or, heaven forbid, going down on you after he's
deposited the seed. Yeah,
correct. Yeah, like I think I think there are a lot of women out there who don't realize how much of an imposition that is.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, and I think it has to do with the different experience of the refractory experience of men and women.
Right.
So for a woman, she thinks she doesn't realize that how negative it is for a guy. I actually was listening to a podcast this week about that talked partly about the chemicals that are released and about how during orgasm the chemicals between the man and the woman are actually male and female are pretty similar. Actually sort of, yeah, the same chemicals are released. And I think prolactin is the one that they said is responsible for the kind of losing your erection.
Okay.
And, lowering, you know, kind of quickly lowering your sexual interest. And the interesting thing there is that women also release this on orgasm, which makes you sort of wonder what's going on there. I mean, obviously it doesn't.
They don't seem to have that cratering of arousal.
Well, see, I sort of wonder about that. I mean, they might. It's just that their ability to perform doesn't go away.
I see.
I mean, if you think, yeah, I mean, and it might even be difficult for a woman to sort of ideate around this, but
right.
you know, the center of the woman's pleasure stuff is really the clit. Right. And that mm-hmm. is sufficiently far from the vagina that, yeah, it doesn't actually necessarily matter. When I say matter, it doesn't like, it's not uncomfortable for her to continue with sex after she orgasms, but her interest level her horniness, let's call it, may well have declined significantly.
I see. So you speculate that men have more like physical discomfort in attempting to continue using their penis after orgasming, whereas women, because of the distance between the clit and the vagina, don't have that same issue.
Well, and also you don't have like the problem of your erections gone. I mean, an interesting question, and I'm trying to think about this, but if a woman comes first and then you want to come in her mouth, is that a problem? I'm trying to think if that's a problem. Like, because you could imagine she's less aroused then and she's like, yeah, I don't want to do that. I think that's not typically a problem. That's not, but maybe women don't give voice to it. And it is, you know, you see what I'm saying? Like she might be less interested in that activity after she's orgasmed.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, one of the things that comes with the suppression of arousal is a raising of disgust.
Right.
And so I would expect if women had an analogous experience after they orgasm to men, they would start finding things like having a cock in their mouth disgusting.
It's possible. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it seems like it might change things where where there's like a disgust element to it. That's the key. Whereas PIV sex would not have that same feeling necessarily. Yeah, it's interesting.
All right. On the topic of clits, this person says, I, a 19-year-old female, was told I have a small clit by a guy I was hooking up with. Have any of you guys been told this before? I've never heard such a thing. It unlocked a new insecurity I never knew I had or even thought of.
Well, is that shouldn't it be a security? I mean, what is the most ideal clit size?
Definitely not too large.
Okay, but is there too small?
Well, okay. I mean, arguing by extremes, you want them to have a clit, so you don't want it to be zero. And then, I mean, I've experienced clits that are like pretty up in there under the hood.
Okay, but does it matter to you?
No, I think women with larger clits. I don't know. I don't have a large enough sample size here, but I think my intuition is that it's easier for them to orgasm.
You think?
I don't know. I don't know for sure. That's just a extemporaneous intuition.
It would be purely aesthetic for you.
Yeah.
Okay.
In terms of, assuming that there's not some sort of like material difference in ability to orgasm.
Right. Right.
Like, for example, a man with a 3-inch penis and a man with an 8-inch penis both have the same ability to orgasm.
But there's,
there's other problems there, but like the size of the penis doesn't affect the like ability to orgasm. So I would expect the size of the clit doesn't affect the ability to orgasm either, except for that. It's a little bit tricky to like stimulate if it's too small.
Okay, but but I think what you're getting at here is that you want it to be like exactly average.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like too big, I think aesthetically is a problem, and too small, you're worrying that it will be difficult to manipulate or something. And also maybe aesthetically there's a problem there. Like, does it turn you on that there's a clit there?
I think so.
Okay.
But I think there will always be a hood.
Uh-huh.
So like even if the clit's really small, like the thing you can mostly see is the hood anyway.
That's right. I don't think men sexualize that part of the woman that. I mean, it's ironic, right? You'd think it would be highly, but I think men don't care.
Yeah.
So yeah, commenting on the size of it is sort of neither here nor there or something.
I expect he was having problems. He probably couldn't get her to come. And so he's like, oh, your clit's small. She's 19, so he's probably young.
Your clit's small. That's pretty funny. I actually, when you said that,
victim blaming.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say that she'd said his penis was small.
Oh.
And then he says, well, your clit's small.
Right, right.
Yeah. But I think that men generally don't. Like, that's not, it's a little bit like, there are people that sexually fetish or fetishize the anus, a woman's anus. And that's always a little weird to me. Right. And I think fetishizing the clit is sort of the same. It's like, it's too specific or something. Like men, I think that the male excitement comes from like the whole picture, not like one little piece of it. Although maybe that's not true for you. Cause I think when you consume porn, you actually do like zoom in on these parts, right?
I am pretty obsessed with like, skin near the vagina. I don't know why. It's like,
but not near the anus.
Indicator of health for me. I don't really care about the anus that much, but to the extent I do, yeah, I'd like it to be like, pretty neat and clean.
So it's,
I think most people would.
Okay. So you're looking for, but that's not the same as looking for some specific female structure or something. I actually think that the most arousing thing to a guy is just the lack of a penis.
Yes. That's why yoga pants are like so arousing. Because it really maximizes that sort of anatomy there.
Right. It's just it's actually a negative thing. So, I mean, you could imagine creating a 3D model or something of a woman where there's just nothing there. It's like an action figure. Right. And I think that might well be arousing to a man as well, just because there's just nothing, meaning there's no vagina, just nothing, would also be potentially arousing to a guy.
Like a Barbie doll.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Exactly. I assume that's how, do Barbie dolls have, are they fully functional? I assume not. They don't have vulva.
No, they do not. No, they very famously just have nothing there.
But there was
plastic.
Hang on. I was sort of woman-splained to about this when the Barbie movie came out, that there was a Barbie. Maybe, I wonder if you know about this. There was a Barbie that came out where you would like rotate its arm or do something and it would grow up. And part of it growing up is its breasts would grow.
What? What year did that Barbie come out?
I can look it up while we're talking. But yeah, that's a real thing. It's not genitals. The little Barbie.
Breasts growing are breasts not considered genitals? I guess not.
It was called Skipper. Growing up Skipper. It's $2 in $1 for twice as much fun. And yeah, the key is there was like this rubber. Yeah, there's a YouTube video of it. There, it's this rubber stuff that like you rotate her arm and then, like it has two points that poke out and they get bigger.
That's,
I don't think it was a particularly popular toy.
Unbelievably unwoke. I mean, the last scene, okay, spoiler alert for Barbie movie listeners, so watch out. The last scene in the Barbie movie is she goes to an OB-GYN, right?
I didn't watch it.
Oh. Well.
What happens?
She basically acknowledges that she has a vagina. She like decides to stay in the real world instead of Barbie land. And okay. The last scene is she like goes to a gynecologist.
For why?
Because she's a woman now.
I see. So it's just like kind of a throwaway wink to the audience
or something.
Yeah, okay.
But like that was the ultimate expression of feminism or something.
Hmm.
The movie is incoherent. It really, I as a feminist think piece, it is a disaster. But people loved it. Okay. This person says, "What was this genital perfume that she used? I met a girl at a house party that I kind of invited myself to. We're having a great conversation, started getting sexy, and exchanged oral sex. When it was my turn to dive, I was mind blown. She was super fresh between her legs, like she didn't dance and drink beer for hours. It smelled like candy and had a very gentle, fruity taste. Not like actual sweets, but still somehow sweet and long-lasting. It felt like some sweetener, sucralose, aspartame, etc. was in the mix. The extra flavor got me much more into it. Compare drinking tap water to drinking flavored water, smiley face. I can't ask because the whole meeting with her, it felt like we weren't supposed to make anything more out of this. I don't think she even told me her real name. I tried asking the only person I knew in this party, and he had no idea who I'm talking about. Feels like it would be super awkward to go on a woman hunt, and it's not like I'm trying to get into a relationship with her. Is there any product like this, and has anyone tried it before? Also, maybe there's something I can prepare to do for myself, like dip my pee-pee in a glass of dissolved sweetener and strawberry essence." First comment has the answer. Do you know what the answer is?
I'm going to guess something kind of, what would it be? I was guessing I would guess some like kind of deodorant or something.
Yeah.
No, what would it?
Apparently there are flavored pre-sex wipes. You can find them at sex shops easily enough. I had some in mango flavor, and in my experience, they do not give you infections or anything like that. I only got them once on a whim and they were fine. I wouldn't buy them again, but I appreciated the novelty. And then there's a bunch of responses like, "My vaginal pH is so sensitive, even thinking about such wipes is making me feel discomfort down there. LOL. I can't even use scented laundry detergent."
Okay.
But yeah, so apparently there are wipes that that are flavored for this.
That's a little surprise. I mean, it's, I'm trying to think if that would be a positive. I mean, okay, this guy obviously had a really positive experience from it. He liked it a lot.
Yeah, but he sounds like he's 14, so I don't know if we should.
That's a little problematic. Yeah,
give him too much credence here.
Right. I could imagine it being kind of negative, because no matter what, it would be kind of chemical. It would, you know, and I really yes. didn't like the idea of him dipping his pee-pee in the in the tincture of whatever and whatever sugar and stuff. That's even odder.
Right.
I assume these wipes would be designed so they wouldn't actually mess with your vaginal pH and so forth. I think that's a little.
My guess is that in the product design meetings, that would be a thing that came up pretty early.
Probably. Although, you know, yeah, you never know, because I think there's a lot of feminine products that aren't well thought through from a health perspective. Douches come to mind.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. I don't know. I don't
mind. This is a little bit like that.
I don't mind the chemical smell. We've talked about this before, but you can get those, like, you know, towelette things. And some people like to use that, like, if they're not going to shower on their genitals before they have sex. And you've expressed in the past that you would really find that chemical.
Well, what is it like? It's like Lysol?
I guess, yeah. It's like a baby wipe.
And you've experienced this? Well, baby wipes have some kind of like lotion on them or something, right?
What would you rather? Would you rather the funk she's accumulated from a night of dancing?
That's a good question.
You know,
that's a good question. I mean, yeah, I don't have a good answer to that. I guess you're right. It's a tricky question. I mean, obviously, I guess you'd hope that instead she would bathe.
Yes. I think is the way most. Not all, but many early sexual encounters involve a shower having been had, like, within the last 4 hours or something.
Yeah, maybe you could, if everybody had bidets installed, I wonder if using a bidet would accomplish the same thing for a woman.
Yeah, I think bidets are great for a number of reasons, and that's one of them, is that you can just clean yourself off down there whenever without needing
a shower. But guys don't shower. Have you used a bidet before?
Yes. Have you not? Didn't you live in France?
Yeah, but I have not.
The bidet just stood there gathering cobwebs?
We didn't have one.
Really?
But really. I don't think it's that common there.
That apartment was nice enough to... I mean, I thought most French apartments had bidets.
I don't think that's right. Okay. But you would never wash your nuts or your cock with a bidet. I'm just trying to understand. So a woman would potentially wash her genitals with it as well as her anus.
There are different kinds of bidets. There are bidets that have like a little hose attachment, so you could wash your cock. I don't think I have.
Right. I'm not sure what would precipitate that. I guess if you were going to have
it would be something like the situation I just described. Like I was out with a woman, maybe my partner, and we've returned back to the hotel room and we're about to do the deed, but you know, maybe we've been out and about and I'm like, all right, I'm just going to do a quick rinse down there.
And you would wait. But if, let's say there was no bidet, what would you do? Would you use a sink? Would you like hang your balls in the sink? And
I mean, them? I'm exquisitely clean anyway. So this is sort of.
Okay. So in academic. Fact, this has never occurred to you. Okay.
But yeah, like if I thought, you know, if we'd been like touring around all day and I was gross, I'd be like, I'm going to take a shower.
Right.
Would you like to join me? Yeah.
That's the thing I'm thinking of. And so, yeah, I mean, you have everything from like using wipes up to a shower, but like the shower is so much better that it's sort of hard to ideate down at the wipe level. But
These guys sounds like they were at a frat party or something. And so they may not have even had access to the shower.
Right. Yeah. And so the beggars can't be choosers, right?
Correct.
You have very limited options. And so
I had an ex who called it a hoe bath when you use like moist towelettes like under your armpits or whatever.
On TikTok, there are women categorize their showers and baths like this. Yeah, right. I think that's a standard term, actually. And
okay. But
then there's like different levels of shower, right? There's the shower where you shave everything. There's the shower where you wash your hair. There's a shower where you don't wash your hair.
I see. And they all have different meme-tastic names.
Yeah. It's sort of interesting because I think men generally just have one kind of shower. So it's, I, in fact, I pretty much, I guess I know that from like going to locker rooms and showering and seeing
what
other
kind
guys.
Of soap do you use?
I mean, just varies.
Do you have like a 3-in-1 or something, or what do you?
Why?
Oh, there's this discussion on TikTok about how men always have like 2-in-1 and or 3-in-1 soap, and women have like 8 different products.
So I actually installed in my shower. I installed in my shower because I like, maybe because someday I'll be in prison and I like institutional settings. I installed in my shower one of those things that they have in locker rooms that like has 3 containers on that are attached to the wall, like shampoo, conditioner, body wash. And then you put it in there from like a bulk gallon or 2 gallon thing. Yeah. And then you can push a button and it comes out. Uh-huh. So I basically do that. And then I just have like, you know, rosemary mint shampoo and conditioner and like various, you know, body wash. You should actually, you know, consider it. It's very institutional feeling.
How often do you use conditioner?
Every time I wash my hair because I have long hair.
Yeah.
Right now, at least.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's enough of the shower discussion. That's going to be enough for this episode, actually. Thank you for listening to this episode of Your Mileage May Vary. We love getting feedback. You can send us feedback to ymmvpod@gmail.com. We pay $10 for any and all feedback. So just let us know your Venmo or Cash App. Again, that's ymmvpod@gmail.com. That's also the address to ask us questions. And if you don't want us to use your question on the air, mention that. Again, that's ymmvpod@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next week on Your Mileage May Vary. Et je viens entre tes reins. Je vais et je viens. Je me retiens. Non.